tuned in to the MTTB podcast in association with Crossover Radio. Thunder up. And welcome in to the third episode of the NTTB podcast. As always, I'm your host, Alex, joined by my co-host.
This is Anthony, y'all. We're on episode three.
What was Star Wars episode three? A New Hope or what was
No, it? Episode four was A New Hope. Three was...
Come on, man. This is
Phantom Menace.
This is your territory.
Oh, man, you caught me on. you caught me off guard on that one.
All right, so we're on episode three. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed the first two episodes. We're trying to get better as we move along. Make sure, as always, that you check us out on iTunes. We are currently registered on iTunes as a podcast through the NTTB podcast. Also, make sure you check us out on Twitter. My Twitter handle is going to be AlexRoig_NTTB. The Roig part is spelled R-O-I-G, so that's AlexRoig_NTTB. And then my co-host here, his is going to be Montero_A13. So Montero, M-O-N-T-E-R-O, _A13. All right, so we're getting, you know, we are moving along in the off season. We're getting to that point where everything kind of starts to slow down. But the Thunder have... You know, they've kind of kept up and kept on going with their news. A couple things that I want to kind of look at as far as this past week, the news, the Thunder news that kind of came out. So the first one was the signing of Dakari Johnson.
Yeah, we talked about him in episode one about his summer league play.
Yeah, we talked about him about his summer league, and then we also talked about him in conjunction with whether the Thunder would choose him or Nick Collison, but apparently they've chosen both of them.
they said the heck with it. We'll take them both.
Yeah, and I could kind of see, like, as far as Collison being the older version of Dakari Johnson, even though Dakari Johnson looks older than Nick Collison. But
he's got the Greg Oden effect.
He does. He really does. He looks a lot older than what he really is. I think he's only 21, 22 years old, but he looks like he's at least 40. He's like, you know, it's like Bad Boys 2 whenever they meet that kid at the front door. And he's like, man, you at least 30.
Yeah.
This guy's at least 40. But I know that Dakari Johnson is not that old. He's actually about 22, 23 years old. But it was a two-year deal. As far as the specifics go, still don't know whether it's a one-and-one, you know, one guaranteed, one player option or team option. Don't even know if it's going to be a two-way player. You know, nowadays, beginning this season, you can have – basically two extra players on your team that you can sign to what's called two-way contracts. So they can only appear in a certain – they can only be with the NBA team per se for a certain amount of games. I think it's like 45 games. But they're going to spend most of their time with the D-League affiliate. And the highest they can get paid, I believe, is $200,000 to $300,000 per season. So basically it's an incentive to keep those players – and develop those players and not have them go overseas or not have them get paid, you know, basically when you compare it to other NBA salaries, peanuts in the D League.
Yeah, it's basically your equivalent to a red shirt. You know, red shirts can only play a certain number of games before they're considered a full season.
Yeah.
You know, there's limitations, so.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing for the NBA, especially as we move towards all teams getting their own D League affiliate. Right now, I think there are 25 or 26 D-League affiliates, so there's four teams that actually share.
The Fort Wayne team, I believe, has like four different NBA affiliates that share that one team.
But, you know, the Thunder were a little bit ahead of their time, and they purchased their own team, so they're good to go on that front. So I believe that his contract is going to be guaranteed. It's a full NBA contract, but that's still to be seen, you know. And then the second signing was Giannis Morin, which kind of surprised some people. That was reported by Sportando. Sportando is a good website to get international basketball news, but it was reported on Twitter by Sportando. And Giannis Morin actually played for our summer league team this summer in Orlando. And he's a Frenchman. He's 23 years old. He'll be 24 here as the season begins.
He's 6'11", 210.
Yeah, 6'11", 210. A little bit on the light side, but he's very athletic. He's a great role man, and he's a guy that moves well without the ball. So if you're, you know, penetrating into the lane and your man kind of dives onto you, Morin does a pretty good job of getting open and, you know, having open dunks, open looks. And he's also able to kind of step out to the three-point line, kind of step out to the mid-range and shoot a shot here or there. So I kind of see him basically being somebody that they maybe see as developing into an Ibaka-type player. But he's very raw. He's very raw. He played in the B League for the French.
Yes, he played in the French League. Yeah, he has been invited. We've got currently 16 players, not including Terrence Ferguson. So he's been invited with a non-guaranteed contract. So he's more than likely going to be playing in the G League.
Yeah, he's more than likely going to be playing in the G League, or he could actually get, you know, one of those two-way contracts from the Thunder, depending on maybe how he does in training camp, because he is a training camp invitee with that contract. So we'll see. We'll see how he does. I mean, he's in this new NBA, you kind of need more wings than you do big men, but the Thunder have a tendency to zig when the rest of the league zags. So,
and it, you know, to Sam Presti's credit, to Clay Bennett and the organization's credit, it's worked.
It has. I mean,
it's worked in the past, I should say.
It's worked to a certain point.
Yeah, to a certain extent, it's worked for them. So now we just got to find that next level niche in order to take the big men per se and find a way to, you know, stretch them out and force everybody else to play our game per se.
Yeah, like, you know, we signed two big men, and that's not very common in the league, especially when we already have a good complementary set of big men in Adams, Cantor, Patterson. You know, we already have a pretty good number of big men. But we signed them. They seem to have contrasting skill sets per se. Giannis is more of an athletic big, and Dakari is more of a kind of a plotter, kind of a, I don't want to say Kendrick Perkins, but he is definitely somebody that very much stays on the inside. So we'll see what happens with these guys. I mean, it's something that, you know, the Thunder have a habit of getting second round picks and rewarding their loyalty. So they did that with Samaj Kristen. They did that with, I know Josh Huestis was not a second rounder. He was a first rounder, but he had that little deal with the Thunder where he would go be a domestic draft and stash in the G League or in the D League, and then sign his contract. So they do reward loyalty. So this is just another example of them rewarding a second rounder's loyalty to stay with them, to develop, and to eventually get on with the big league club, as you know, per se. So that's basically the only player signings that we had this week. You got anything on that?
That's pretty much it for the Thunder. I mean, there were other player news that just happened recently, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But that's pretty much wrapped it up. Now it's a matter of playing the waiting game and seeing, you know, what comes out of these training camps and who makes the final roster.
And I mean, it's, as we've seen with the news here lately. NBA rosters are still very fluid as far as player movement. So things can change on a whim, and you know, teams can go from great to not great, or from okay to great pretty quickly, depending on who they add to their team.
The NBA seems like it's trying its best to steal some of the spotlight from baseball and other sports this summer, and making some big splashes with news, little bit of tad bits of information dropped here and there.
Yeah, like the NBA, the last two off seasons have been very, I don't want to say TMZ-ish, but it's been something that you've had to kind of keep up with the off season to kind of know what's going on here for the next season. Because if you completely turn off whenever the season ends, and you don't really care about basketball, and then you kind of check back in whenever the season starts, you're going to be completely surprised whenever you see some of these rosters out there.
They've been very calculating in the release of information.
And I think it has a lot to do with Golden State. I think it has a lot to do with the making of super teams. So in order to combat a super team, you almost have to create your own super team.
Yeah. You got to fight fire with fire.
Yeah, you really do. You got to fight fire with fire. You got to hope. You got to kind of hope you get some breaks along the way. So maybe an injury here or there to a top-notch contender. But whenever that situation happens, or if that situation happens, you want to be ready. You want to have the weaponry. You want to have the players available to you to actually make that leap and take that opportunity if it comes knocking.
Yeah, but you also got to understand that these NBA players, they're I think Jay-Z said it. He said, "I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman."
Yeah.
These players are very much aware that they are a business.
Yeah,
they're aware of their brands, and you have the website like the Players Tribune, which gives the players the opportunity to release information that on their own time, whenever they want to, and they've been very calculating. The last two major summer news surprises, information drops have dropped on the Players Tribune. Kevin Durant's 4th of July letter saying he was leaving Oklahoma City, and Gordon Hayward's letter to a thank you letter to the city of Utah saying he's leaving to go to Boston. These players are aware, and they're very calculating in the release of their information.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's I mean, you got to – you are your own brand. I mean, the players are their own brand. even me myself, I'm my own brand when it comes to my website, when it comes to this podcast. You know, you are your own brand. So these players are have become very calculated, have become very smart as far as how to advertise for themselves, how to present themselves. And so, like I said, every offseason has turned almost into a TMZ-ish type thing. So we'll see where it goes from here. It usually slows down during this time of year. Like usually when you get into July, August, the biggest things are usually just the schedule coming out, and then it usually quiets down after that. We'll see if that's going to be true this year.
But not to be outdone, the league and its partnership with its new dealers who are going to make banking the uniforms this year.
Dealers,
Nike.
Are they drugs involved?
Well, you know, considering what they're dropping.
The amount of money that they're dropping.
they released the information about the new uniforms.
Yeah, oh, I know.
The
I
new
know.
Nike uniforms.
Pretty excited about that.
And you've seen it. I sent you that link. What do you think about it? What's your first opinion, first glance? And for those of you that don't know, we're talking about...
Yeah, go ahead and explain.
So Nike has basically said that each team is probably going to have at least four, not including the Christmas Day uniforms and not including maybe a special uniform for certain teams. Four uniforms. So you've got your association uniform, which is basically what amounts to the home whites.
Okay.
And then you have the icon edition, which basically what amounts to the road blues or whatever color your road team is. And then you will have two other uniforms that are to be named. One is inspired by the athlete's mindset. And the other is inspired by the community.
Okay. So the athlete's mindset. So like James Harden, he's into strippers. So are we going to have just a bunch of ones?
I don't think it's going to go that far. I think the athletes' mindsets are going to be uniforms more tailored to the style of play and the style of athlete that's coming out now.
Okay, I got you.
Case in point, Lonzo Ball. He bringing back them short shorts.
Okay.
You know, I don't think every team is going to go to short shorts, but but we've noticed from the last couple of years, these uniforms are getting more form-fitting.
They're getting tighter, yeah.
You know, everything's shrinking. It's more defining to the body. There's more technology in these, you know, moisture-wicking, drying technology, all that. So I think these are going to be something that is going to very much energize the player himself as much as the fan.
Okay.
And so, then you've got the community one, which I think is going to reflect the area in which the team plays.
Okay. And we've seen a couple mock-ups, I guess, on Twitter and things of that nature. Now, just let it be known that these are not going to be the official Nike jerseys. I mean, it could eventually be. You never know if these people are actually working with Nike to maybe design some things. But these jerseys should probably be released around August.
Yeah, so August. So you should have at least the home road and away released in time for the start of the NBA season. So, you know, October time frame, maybe a little bit sooner than that. You want to get them on your fans before the season starts. Your two alternate jerseys are probably going to be released later on in the season.
Okay.
And then, you know, I think
so the alternate, you talk about the community one, and the
community
athlete
and the athlete mindset. And then right around
They say Christmas?
I think early November, they usually release. Obviously, we'll know who's playing on Christmas once they release the schedule. And they'll usually release a rendering of what the Christmas Day jerseys are going to look like if Nike decides to do a Christmas Day special jersey.
Okay.
But the twist here is the home team doesn't have to wear the home whites. Yeah. They can decide what uniform they want to wear, and the opposing team has to just wear a contrasting color.
So basically, these guys are going to be traveling with all their
basically
jerseys.
All four jerseys are available at any particular time. So obviously, the home team chooses what color they want to wear, and then you just have to make a uniform that contrasts. How do you feel about that?
You know, I call me a traditionalist, but I've always liked the home whites and the different color road uniform. I've always liked that, but you know, this is Nike taking over. This is Nike taking their sponsorship to the NBA. And from what I hear, they're going to be changing jerseys every year. I don't know if I like that too much.
Yeah, I don't know. And I bet you when they say changing jerseys, we're talking about minor tweaks or you know, stylistic tweaks. I would imagine that, you know, from year to year, the jersey is going to look a little bit different.
You know,
but I think you're going to have your classic. You know, I know if I look at this jersey, it's the Thunder jersey.
No, yeah, and I get that. I mean, call me a traditionalist, but I like the home whites. I really like the home whites. The road uniforms with that big old, you know, Oklahoma City written on it, I think that could be changed. I mean, I honestly think that could maybe be shortened to like OKC or something like that.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the OKC because based on what I'm reading, it looks like the Sunset Sunday Orange might be retired.
Peace.
It might be hanging in the Raptors along with the Thunder Navy Blues, which, by the way, were my favorites.
Yeah, those were retired this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yeah, so the Sunset jerseys, the ones they usually wore on Sundays, the orange ones, per Eric Horn of the Oklahoman, they're done for.
Along with the sleeved white jerseys.
Along with the pajama jerseys, what I like to call the pajama jerseys. Rest in peace, Sunset jerseys. No more. I kind of like them. I kind of like the whole concept of the whole, you know, the Sunday Sunset jersey where every Sunday game they wore them, even if they were on the road or at home. But, you know, we're moving into new territory with Nike. And so we'll see where they take us. I mean, Nike has never disappointed me when it comes to shoes.
No.
Or you know, clothing.
Well, Nike's been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, and Nike's been doing it. Do they have the NFL also?
Nike does have the NFL now.
Yeah. So, I mean, Nike's taken over, and I have an open mind to it, and I'm curious to see what these jerseys look like. I really am because, you know, it's Nike.
Rumor is that there could be potential tweaks to the whole Shield Thunder Oklahoma City logo. Okay. We could be looking at maybe a new logo
or a refaced logo. I know there's a lot of people that don't like the logo per se. It's very simplistic.
It was very WNBA-ish to me when I first saw it.
It was.
That's just first glance.
It's kind of grown on me through the years, through the, you know, 9-10 years that they've been here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could definitely, there's a lot of people in the fan base that can, that say it could probably be changed to something, maybe add in a little bit of hint of buffalo, bison type thing. Maybe, you know, our own mascot is a bison, Rumble the Bison.
Rumble the Bison.
You know, the buffalo is the state mammal of Oklahoma. So maybe add something that pertains to that within the jersey. Maybe that would be the community jersey that they add something like that. Those are the jerseys. My favorite alternate jersey, I actually liked the Christmas ones, the one where Thunder is written in cursive.
I think they used it last year and the year before.
Yeah, the last two have been like that.
I think the lettering was a little bit different between the two years, but they're basically the same concept.
I love those jerseys, man.
You know, I didn't mind them. I even liked the light blue ones with the logo, with the shield on there instead of the Christmas Day jersey. Where it's solid color.
That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. I like those. My favorite jersey was the navy with the Thunder lettering down the side.
Yeah, the ones
to
that
me,
were retired.
To me, that was the closest
last year
thing to a throwback uniform that we had,
mm-hmm.
considering we're still, you know, as far as we're speaking, a baby organization for Oklahoma City.
And we're not going to be rocking no Sonics.
Yeah, nobody's rocking a Sonics.
Throwback to the Sonics days. No.
So we learned last year that the NBA is now allowing a 2x2 patch on each team. So each team can sell advertising on their uniform, and it's a little 2x2-inch patch, and they can team with whoever they want to, advertising space. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I've always been the type that has said, when it comes to professional sports, at least the big three of Major League Baseball, NFL, and NBA, I think they make enough money to where you don't have to, I don't want to say soil the jersey, but you don't have to sell that space. You sell every other space. You name your arenas and your stadiums. You name your, you know, you have ads and advertisers and companies just plastered throughout the arenas and in association with the teams. Why put that on the jersey now? You know, one of the worst things I always see, like whenever I see a EuroLeague game or whenever I see, you know, soccer from overseas, is you see these jerseys that they have these different advertisers on there, and you don't even know what the team is per se.
Especially in soccer, that's how teams are known. Teams are known by what says
by
on
their
jersey. It says Fly Emirates. I know that is the Paris team.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And you have the Chevy. I know that is a an English team.
Yeah.
I think I want to say Manchester United.
And see, this is how it starts. You know, it starts with a little 2x2 ad, and then, you know, 5 years from now, it goes, okay, well, how about 4x4? Or how about, you know,
hey, we'll give you this much money if we can increase
exactly
it by an inch.
Exactly. You know, and these guys, the guys that own the teams, these guys are rich as it is, and I know it's just maybe another avenue for more revenue, but
with these contracts going up, they're gonna need more.
That's
revenue.
True. I mean, that's true, but you're kind of soiling the jerseys per se, and I've heard that Nike's not gonna put the ad on there.
Not for the jerseys that are for purchase.
Exactly, yeah, for purchase.
So the fan jersey,
that would be
a
conflict of interest.
Yeah, it's not going to have the little 2x2 patch. And as of right now, the Thunder have not.
Yeah, the Thunder said this year.
They're not going to have a sponsor. It is going to be, I will agree with you, that it is going to be weird looking at the Boston Celtics home whites and seeing a General Electric patch on there.
Yeah, that's.
So, yeah, it's going to be weird.
Houston has, is it Fitbit? I think Houston has Fitbit or something. There's only a few teams
that have done it so far.
Yeah, there's only like 8 teams in this year that are going to have ads on their jerseys. So it's not going to be every team. But within the next 3 years, you'll see every team in the league have these patches, these ad patches on their jerseys. So
I guess I'm okay with it, seeing how it's here to stay, as long as it doesn't turn into like the WNBA right now.
Yeah.
I couldn't name you a team because all I see on the front of the jerseys are LifeLock or whatever car dealership. That's what I see first, and then the team logos hidden in between that. So as long as we don't head into that territory, I guess I got no other choice but to accept it.
Yeah, it's just that's how it starts. To me, that's how it starts, and then you start to get greedy. You start to have a jersey where, you know, you lose the team name per se, and it's the advertiser's name. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes from here. So moving on, a little bit more Thunder news per se, or Russell Westbrook news. So he still hasn't signed his extension. No worry about that. I actually put out an article today to tell people to kind of chill out with worrying about Westbrook not signing his extension. You know, people got to realize that the man has been on a world tour since the NBA season ended, okay? So do not worry too much that he hasn't signed the contract. Just kind of realize that he has been going from place to place, winning awards and winning awards, and he has not yet had the time to actually have 3 to 5 days to where he can be in Oklahoma, to where he can sit down with the team officials, with Presti, with Clay Bennett, and actually signed the contract. I think for the most part, the team has basically said, "Look, we're waiting on him. You know, this is no negotiation. We've put the contract out there. The contract is probably for the highest amount possible, which would probably be 5 years, $201 million, in addition to this year. So the contract is out there. He'll probably sign it. He just hasn't had time.
Yeah, it's not a sign of the impending apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of chill out, Thunder Nation. We'll be all right, okay? And if you want to read my article, it's on the site. You know, now that's thunderbasketball.com. So go ahead and check it out. But he won another award this past week. So he won the most fashionable for 2017 for Sports Illustrated Fashionable 50. So again, he went to LA and he won another award, and you know he was celebrated and things of that nature. But I'm kind of getting tired, not really, but I'm kind of getting tired of Russell Westbrook winning so many awards.
I guess you don't realize that there's so many awards out there until one of your own really wins them all.
You really don't. I mean, this guy has won. You know, he's won the NBA awards. You know, he's won the MVP and things of that nature. But he's also won an ESPY for Male Athlete of the Year. Then he won
the Kids Choice Award
for Most Clutch. Yeah, Most Clutch Player of the Year. And then SI, Sports Illustrated, they award him with the Most Fashionable of the Year. But I kind of want to look at the other players on the team. You know, there's other players on the team, and so I want to come up with some awards for them.
This is our yearbook award section.
This is our NTTB's award ceremony. Okay, so kind of looking at the roster, not everybody's going to receive an award because not everybody is that interesting. But Enes Kanter, Steven Adams, they're going to win Best On-Court Duo, which is a play on the Best On-Screen Duo. So, you know, doesn't really surprise too many that these two guys win the Best On-Court Duo.
I think that's our basketball version of Riggs and Murtaugh.
Yeah, Riggs, Murtaugh, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee.
So who's Riggs and who's Murtaugh?
Who's Riggs and who's I think Steven Adams would be Riggs.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't know.
The crazy Australian. Well, Mel Gibson is from Australia.
Is he?
I believe so.
He's not American?
No, Mel Gibson is an Aussie, if I'm not mistaken.
What? I didn't know that. It's just, no, I mean, I guess Murtaugh, which was Danny Glover, is he Australian for
okay,
real?
So let me correct. He was born in New York, but he moved to Sydney until he was 12.
Oh,
or wow. He moved to Sydney when he was 12. So I mean, he's technically an American, but he was raised in Sydney, Australia.
He probably learned how to talk, you know, a little bit of the Australian, Aussie. Yeah. So I don't know if I want to compare an Aussie with Steven Adams. He might punch me. So let's not do that. So let's pick another on-screen duo and just go from there, or not. Let's just go ahead and give them the award and move on from there. Okay, I have an award for Enes Kanter.
Okay,
so I think he is most likely to live out a real life Taken scenario. So I think he's most. If you remember the Taken movies, Taken 1, 2, and 3,
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, yeah. Liam Neeson.
See, the man can't seem to get his family from being kidnapped.
Exactly. But if you remember, some of it takes place in
Turkey.
Yeah sure some does. Of it takes place in Istanbul. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think the first one takes place in Turkey. So, you know, kind of I'm not making light of his situation. Believe me, I'm not. But I could definitely see a scenario where, you know, somebody gets kidnapped in Enes Kanter's family and he calls the president of Turkey and he's like, "You do not know me. You do not know who I am. But I have a set of particular skills." And then at the end of it, you know, he's going to go, "I will find you. And I will kill you." So I could definitely see Enes Kanter doing that. Okay, I have an award for Kyle Singler.
Okay,
and we'll talk about Singler right, here.
Not too many people are giving this man an award.
Well, hey, man, hey,
what do you have?
I have him as the most likely to be praised by Bernie Madoff. Yes.
So you think he's stealing from the Thunder?
I think he is stealing from the Thunder big time, and he's unlike Bernie, he's getting away with it. It's legal. For him, so and we'll talk a little bit more about Kyle Singler here in a little bit, but yeah, that's my award for him. Paul George,
okay,
simple
Paul George,
award,
PG,
simple award. Hopefully, best supporting actor.
That's okay.
Okay. I'm, hopefully, by the end of the season,
this is a potential. This is more of a future. PG's at least is a future outlook.
Yeah, it's kind of like you know how whenever the whenever the college season starts, they have preseason All-Americans.
Which, to me, make no sense.
Makes
whatsoever.
No sense at all, especially with freshmen coming in. But hopefully best supporting actor for Paul George.
Okay.
Patrick Patterson.
Okay, P-Pat.
Thunder player most likely to appear on Field & Stream magazine.
Field & Stream magazine.
Yeah. And apparently a very avid moviegoer.
I see that. I've noticed. I've seen him on Twitter talking about several movies, putting out little questions to see if you can answer his.
Apparently, he went to go see Valerian last night with Brett Dawson of The Oklahoman.
Okay, nice. What was the review on that?
I don't know. I haven't read it yet. Brett Dawson apparently said it was visually great, but he could. The plot of it was kind of like
that. That usually means that the movie is style-wise great, but sucked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it looked great. It looks, I mean, from the review.
It's a great-looking, sucky movie.
From the previews, yeah, it's a great-looking, sorry, crappy movie. Yeah, exactly. It's a...
Well, they can't all be Star Wars.
Yeah, they can't. They can't. All right, so Andre Robertson.
Okay.
He gets the award for best tipper.
I mean, hands down.
Not trying to make fun of that situation, but hey. Dakari Johnson, he's getting the Josh Huestis Award as the Thunder player who will barely play for the Thunder. Conversely, Josh Huestis will be receiving the Dakari Johnson Award for the Thunder player who will play most of his time in the G League.
In the G League.
That's it for me.
Okay, so I've got a couple of them.
Okay, go ahead.
Steven Adams.
Uh-huh.
Most likely to do his own action stunts.
Okay, yeah, I could definitely see that.
I've got Patrick Patterson.
Uh-huh.
Most likely to be lost in a lake on a boat.
Okay.
Okay. What was the... Andre Robertson.
Uh-huh.
Most likely to become a math teacher.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. At least he said that he had a little bit too much to drink, and that's why... His numbers didn't add up, but yeah, that was pretty bad. All right, so that's it for the award ceremony. Let's kind of pivot a little bit, and let's kind of move on to our Twitter questions. So we've actually had a couple Twitter questions. Thank you guys for sending those in. It's always fun to interact with our listeners, and hopefully in the future we may have a couple live podcasts here or there. But for right now, the way to kind of get to us is to kind of talk to us through Twitter and send us your questions. So we have another question from our boy OKC Obstinacy,
which we learned the definition of.
Yes, it means stubborn.
We figured it out.
Hey, so that describes me right there. Real stubborn. So his question was, who is the best player PG played with before Westbrook? So basically, in his tenure with the Pacers.
Okay, because I'm thinking if we're talking about who's he's ever played with, it would be anybody else on the USA team.
No, we're not talking about Team USA. Let's take that out of the equation. Okay, so we're talking about on the Pacers. So I think it's seven seasons on the Pacers. Mm-hmm. Who has been the best player that he has played with?
Well, at one time. Mm-hmm. Roy Hibbert was a factor to
deal
with.
It's amazing how quickly the big man has been phased out of the game. Five years ago.
Yeah.
Roy Hibbert was, the guy that – was it verticality? Yeah. Oh, man, he does a great job with verticality, and, the guy was averaging, a double-double, and he was, one of the top defensive centers in the league. That guy cannot find a job in the league. I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. If he is – He's either still getting money off of an old contract, or the guy is getting minimum. It's amazing to me.
Believe it or not, he is a center for the Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets? Really?
Yeah. Well, that was the 2016-17 season. So, okay. I'm sorry. He started with the Nuggets that season, uh-huh. Ended up on the Hornets.
Oh, my word. Really? Wow. So
2016 season.
Life comes at you real quick, Roy Hibbert. So yeah, so we got Hibbert. Lance Stephenson maybe?
At one time, yeah, Lance Stephenson, you had the defensive threat. But Lance Stephenson was more of a defensive guy when in his height, in his heyday.
I think Lance Stephenson just had that one real good season. Like the year right before he signed that contract with the Hornets.
Is that the year before or after he blew into LeBron James's ear?
I think that was that year.
That year?
Yeah, that was that year. So that was the year that They made it all the way to the conference finals, Eastern Conference Finals, mm-hmm. for the second year in a row, I think. And Lance Stephenson was putting up basically not triple-double numbers, but he had a couple triple-doubles that year. So he was, you know, he was kind of all around real good player,
right?
And he was shooting real good from the field, because I remember after that year, once he signed that contract with the Hornets, the guy couldn't find anything, you know, when he shot from range.
Yeah, he usually seems to happen that, you know, guys get paid and then all of a sudden they forget what job they do.
Contract year, man. Contract. I sometimes wonder what would happen, like, to regular folks if we had a contract year, like at our jobs. I sometimes wonder what would happen. It's just something that I would love to see contract year, you know, business manager, contract year, you know, office supervisor or something like that, just to see how they would handle it.
To see how things change.
Exactly. I have one that maybe nobody has thought about. So you also had Danny Granger.
Danny Granger, yeah.
He had played whenever Paul George first came in, and then he had the knee injuries, and so he went downhill after that. I think he had one real good season, Paul George's rookie year, and then it went downhill from there.
Right.
But I have a guy that he kind of suffered the same fate, and he was on the track to be real good, and then injuries derailed him again. You remember Jonathan Bender?
Jonathan Bender.
Real lanky, real kind of like real athletic 6'11 guy, kind of like a more athletic or more offensively minded Kevin Garnett.
Okay, I do remember the references to Kevin Garnett.
Like I think if Bender would have been healthy, he would have been the prototype for Kevin Durant. Because okay. He was like 6'11", real tall, real lanky. But, you know, he had a little bit of build to him, but he played more like a guard. I think they actually played him at, like, two guard or at basically at wing at 6'11". So the guy had the potential to be great, but, again, knee injuries, kind of like Danny Granger, especially early in his career, kind of just kind of forced him out of the league. So about 4 or 5 seasons into his career, he was already out of the league.
Okay, what about 2013-2014 season you had Andrew Bynum?
Really?
And you had George
Hill. I forgot about that.
You had George Hill,
yeah. Yeah, George. I mean, George Hill is always going to be real good. I just, as far as the George Hill is very consistent as far as being good. But, again, he doesn't do anything great.
What about 2013 David West?
Yeah, I mean, once again, David West, he's a great role player. But I wouldn't, as far as the best player that he's played with, I'm thinking Lance Stephenson.
Lance Stephenson,
or maybe Roy Hibbert for the five years ago at center. That's about it. So
yeah, I'd say Roy or Lance. That probably
you kind of see why Paul George put that ultimatum out there. I mean, you just kind of see that. I mean, anything as far as the Thunder goes, you can see you've always had a Durant, you've always had a Westbrook there. You know, some teams aren't that lucky.
I'm looking through the different years that he was there, looking at the rosters. He's got good guys, not superstar guys.
Yeah.
He played with Louis Scola. He had C.J. Watson, David West, Rodney Stuckey. There are a lot of okay guys, a lot of good guys, a lot of guys that would fill in on superstar teams to plug in holes.
He's had a whole bunch of guys who, as the number two on the team, they were one of the worst number twos in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's always been the problem with Paul George in Indiana, and you can kind of see why he put that ultimatum on the table.
Okay, let me throw out this one right here. 2015-2016 season.
Who?
Monte Ellis.
Yeah, I mean, again, Monte is one of those guys that when he catches fire, he looks good, but he's not consistent enough to do that all the time, you know? So, yeah, so basically consensus around here is what, Lance Stephenson and maybe Roy Hibbert?
Roy Hibbert. I would say those are the two, 1A, 1B.
Goodness, those are horrible. Those are horrible, you know, number two options.
We say that now, but again, at one point in time,
yeah.
Roy Hibbert was, you know, what equated to this version of a Shaq-type player, dominant big man.
That's kind of hearsay. That's kind of
at that point in time, I mean.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. So,
you know, at least the hype was there.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, so I hope that answered your question. You know, it's. He hasn't had too many players that have been real good around him. So, you know, hopefully playing with Westbrook this 1 year maybe convinces him to stay here a little bit longer. Okay? So from my man at Thunder Gazette, so how do you see Steven Adams play improving this year with the new roster around him. So we kind of discussed that before.
Yeah, we talked about it in that podcast in episode two.
In episode two, but I mean, it's just with so much with more spacing around, especially the starting lineup. So you're looking at, you know, you're looking at Paul George, you're looking at Patrick Patterson. You know, last year you had Andre Robertson at the three, and you had Domantas Sabonis at the four. You know, good players in all respects. Floor spacers, not very much. They tried to turn Sabonis into a floor spacer, and he did okay, especially at the beginning of the season where he was shooting about 35-36%. By the end of the season, that kind of went down to about 28%.
Well, you know, right around the All-Star game, he hit the rookie wall.
Yeah, he hit the rookie wall. He had that one good game against the Celtics on the road where he hit, I believe, four or five threes, and then after that, he kind of went on a very, very, very cold spell, very much a cold spell, and he's a rookie. He hit the wall probably. His confidence probably went down. And so all basically Steven Adams saw the entire season was bodies around him in the paint. Same thing probably with Russell Westbrook, but Russell Westbrook is Russell Westbrook. He's able to kind of get past that. He's able to blow by that. He's able to use his athleticism to get by that.
He's a tad bit more athletic than
Steven Adams. Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, as far as the big man, you know, Steven Adams, very athletic. So I believe with more spacing around him, you're going to see the version of Steven Adams that you saw in 15-16 whenever they had Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka out there. And so, you know, kind of able to space the floor a lot more and have that middle open so that whenever Westbrook does drive, able to find him on lobs and things of that nature. Or even just if you want to post him up, you don't have three or four guys in there bothering him, you know, so – you know, if you post him up and he gets the ball and he starts to back down and a guy leaves, you know, he's able to find the open guy. He's able to pass. He's not a bad passer.
Yeah, but I think the rim opens up for alley-oops. I think this man is going to easily get 10 points on just alley-oops just because the floor spacing is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that the fact that the floor spacing is there, the Thunder have always been a great rebounding team, especially offensively. And now there's just less people there to get in his way of rebounding.
So let me ask you this. You said, you know, we've been a real good rebounding team, and we've been one of the top offensive rebounding teams here the last couple seasons. Do you think we remain there with the personnel that we have out there? So especially offensively, offensive rebound, not necessarily just defensive rebound, but we've been basically the top rebounding team the last 2 years, offensive rebounding. Mm-hmm. So with so many guys out on the perimeter, do you think our offensive rebounding suffers a little bit?
I think it doesn't, and here's why.
Okay.
Golden State is a very good offensive rebounding team.
Mm-hmm.
Or they get a lot of second and third chances, right? Why is that? Because they have wings and they shoot the ball. And guess what happens when they shoot the ball and it doesn't go in? Long rebounds.
Long rebound. Yeah, that's true.
Long rebounds.
Yeah.
So I think either Steven Adams is going to scoop it up and put it back for two, or we're going to get those long rebounds where that's where I see Russell Westbrook getting a lot of his rebounds from. Right around the free throw line, okay. Those long rebounds when he's kicking it out to George or other guys, he kind of has a tendency to kind of move in. He's right at that free throw line. You get that long or mid-range rebound.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden it falls in Russell Westbrook's lap and he takes it to the hole or kicks it out to another guy. So I honestly don't see our offensive rebounding going down. In fact, it might even improve.
Oh, wow. So from number one to
Super one? Yeah, to super one. They're going
to
be the super team of rebounding offensively.
Okay. I mean, I could see that. I mean, but Steven Adams, the lane is going to open up for him. He's going to have more space to operate. And I think he's a much better offensive player than what we saw last year in that I believe he's a pretty good back-to-the-basket player. I mean, he's not great. He's not going to be anything. He's not going to be Hakeem Olajuwon or anything like that. But I've seen a couple moves from him to where that would suggest that the guy – is able to move around. He's not going to be Enes Kanter, but he's not going to be the rookie, you know, kind of like the Steven Adams that we kind of thought was there during his rookie season.
Well,
you know,
he's
improved a lot in that.
I agree with you. I think he's developed a nice back-to-the-basket mm-hmm. game. Obviously, it's not one that's going to just completely dominate and take over.
No.
But when his hand is healthy, he has a pretty nice sky hook.
He does.
And he goes to it pretty odd. He's not hesitant to go to it. So if his hand can stay healthy, if he can continue developing, I think you're perfectly right.
I think with the space around him, he's going to, I'm not going to say dominate. I'm not, you know, that's not in his nature to do that. But I think with the space around him, he's going to eventually develop into an all-star center in the West. So we'll see. Okay. So Thunder Gazette, he also asked me another question. Have I watched the Defiant Ones yet? Have you watched that?
I'm actually not sure what that is.
That's a, we're basically, they look at the music industry. It's a four-part series. They look at the music industry and they focus on like
I know
Jimmy Iovine, Dr. Dre. I saw episode 4 yesterday. Very good stuff.
I haven't seen it.
So episode 4 kind of focuses on Dre, on Dr. Dre discovering Eminem. And so kind of like the dominoes that happened from there. So they discovered Eminem. Eminem kind of discovered 50 Cent. So the success to kind of, you know, how basically it started off with Dr. Dre taking a chance on Eminem because nobody wanted to kind of focus on that. And then kind of went from there. And then it went from there, it kind of jumped from there to how the music industry changed during the time that they were very popular, where it went from CDs to, what's the word I'm looking for? To like Napster and
to MP3 format,
to where you could steal music.
digital
the digital media to where you could steal music basically, and so that was taking money out of the artists. So it kind of showed how Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre adapted to that. They came out with the beats, they went to that industry and took that industry over. How they paired with Apple and went from there. So that episode was very very interesting to me because I live that. I'm a hip hop fan. Back then, I'm not too much of a hip hop fan nowadays, but I was a hip hop fan back then. And so, kind of looking at that guy, Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine, how they adapted to the situation they were in, where a lot of other artists did not adapt at all and suffered immensely. So it was just very interesting to see that. So, Thunder Gazette, thank you for that suggestion, and I'll hopefully be watching here the first three episodes here soon. And then Jeffrey's, so another Thunder, another Twitter question, at Jeffrey_Storm. He said, offer me the most you'd offer for Kyle Singler. So if I was another team, what would I offer to the Thunder for Kyle Singler?
I almost, looking at this, the first thing that popped into my mind is Will Ferrell's movie. Was it the Tropics?
Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Or no, not Tropic Thunder.
That's the name of the team. I forgot what the movie was called.
The Flint, Michigan Tropics, right?
Yeah.
Where he basically traded a washer machine to get an aging Woody Harrelson. That's kind of like, realistically, your only option is to stretch the guy.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with Kyle Singler. He's our most toxic asset as far as a player who is just severely underperforming his contract. But here's the silver lining. It's just $4.6 million. It's not, you know, there's...
Yeah,
if you look at New York, they got Joakim Noah. Joakim Noah's making...
$72 million for 4 years.
Yeah, he's making a lot more than him, and he's hardly playing.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Washington. Washington has Jan Mahimi, who's hardly playing. He's making $16 million. So, yes, he's a toxic asset, but there are a lot of teams in the league that wish they had that toxic asset. But they're not going to trade
because
for him.
It's a manageable contract.
Yeah,
it's 3 more years, but the third year is a team option.
Yeah, so next year would be the final year of his contract next season.
Yeah,
and by next season I mean 18-19.
18-19.
Yeah, not 17-18. So yes, he still has 2 more years. The Thunder probably their best option is to go ahead and stretch him, get him off get the larger sum off the books, stretch it out for 5 years, 5 to 7 years. And then go from there.
I did read that if the Thunder were to stretch him and some team were to pick him up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, running the numbers and all that other stuff, the cap hit would only be about 1.3.
You really think somebody's going to pick him up?
I mean, you never know.
Yeah. I mean, he the reason the Thunder signed him is because he was garnering interest from the likes of like a San Antonio or Atlanta. Those teams that are run by organizations that are very much like the Thunder. But after seeing what he's done the last two seasons, he's basically, as far as signing the guys, he's untouchable. You're not going to sign the guy. So Jeffrey Storm, I don't think there's any offer that any other team would make to pick up Kyle Singler. So let's kind of let's kind of go ahead and go around the league. See a little bit of news out there. So our boy Kendrick Perkins,
Alligator Gut Nation. Is Alligator, what I like to say.
That's what Anthony calls him. Alligator Gut. You know, I guess
because that of man he, is just he's just tough as tough as alligator skin and just mean as all get out. He's from Beaumont, Texas. That's just the Alligator Gut Nation. That just gives you a little he gave this team some grit he was here.
He did. No. I love Kendrick Perkins. Believe me, he's like the. He's like that uncle that kind of shows up to Thanksgiving dinner and, you know, tells dirty jokes, but everybody loves them type thing. Yeah. That's Kendrick Perkins. But do you know where I think he'll be playing next year?
Where is that?
In Beaumont, Texas.
In Beaumont, Texas?
Yeah, Beaumont, Texas.
You know, and the guy's only, 32 years old, I think.
Yeah, he came into the league right after high school. He didn't go to college. So, hey, I mean, you had your run, Kendrick. You know, be happy for that. A lot of guys don't have runs like that.
Hey, I think Kevin Garnett's looking for a co-host on that.
Hey, man, I would love him on, Area 21?
Area 21?
Yeah, I would love him
on
that. Hey,
their little Celtics reunion was pretty good.
That's pretty good. I still don't like what they're doing to Ray Allen. That's kind of messed up to me.
It is, and I like Ray Allen's response, like, hey, where were y'all when they was trying to trade me?
Yeah, that's true.
None of y'all were here backing me. It's a business. Get over
it. It's a business, yep. All right, so Kendrick. We love you, man, but I don't think you're coming back in the league. All right. Pau Gasol, he signed a 3-year contract with the Spurs, and then Manu Ginobili is re-signing with the Spurs.
What's the deal with the Spurs and these agent players?
Asian players?
Aging.
These guys are Hispanic. Hispanic.
aging
players. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, they're a team that likes familiarity, and so –
And kudos to them to get these guys. You know, at one point in time, Pau Gasol was a big deal.
Yeah, at one time.
At one point in time was a big deal.
5 years ago.
Manu Ginobili has always been a big deal.
Manu Ginobili,
San Antonio. That makes sense. But, these guys are – but, you know, San Antonio somehow convinces these guys to take
– less money.
Less money.
Yeah. I mean, hey, good for them. I still don't see how it makes it better. So, moving on. John Wall. He got his designated veteran player extension.
Finally signed the deal.
Finally signed it. So 4 years, $170 million, which starts in the 2019-20 season, 2019-2020 season. Good job. He's Russell Westbrook is the final player eligible this season, this offseason, to sign his DPE, his designated veteran player extension. So we'll see where that goes. So let's kind of move on to Kyrie.
Kyrie.
So he decided to go ahead and say, hey, I want to be traded.
First of all, let's thank Kyrie for making this past week interesting.
Interesting. Very much interesting. So Kyrie, basically, from everything that I'm reading, so from Brian Windhorst and all those guys on ESPN, basically what they're saying is that he took a lay of the land. He looked around, and he said, you know what? LeBron's probably leaving. So LeBron's leaving. He's going to leave Cleveland a broken shell of what it used to be.
I mean, the building's already crumbling.
Yeah, he's going to leave it. So Kyrie was like, you know what? I'm a superstar player. I don't want to be here during rebuilding time. You know, I don't want them. I'm going to go ahead and put out there that I want to be traded before that happens. So basically, Kyrie's looking out there and he's saying, you know what? I'm not going to go ahead and go through a couple losing seasons just because LeBron decided to go to California or to LA or
wherever he's going.
Yeah, wherever he's going. So he's like, trade me right now because basically he just looked at the lay of the land and said, there's probably nothing out there that's going to make us better than Golden State next season either. So go ahead and trade me now because LeBron's leaving after this year anyway.
He doesn't want to get left holding the bag.
He doesn't. So I kind of, here's the thing. Kyrie's going to get traded. He's not going to stay in Cleveland. And Cleveland, it'd be interesting to see which direction they go. Do they go a youth movement direction, or do they go a direction to where they think maybe, hey, let's try one more time with LeBron this year and maybe get back some veteran players that can maybe do something? So I came up with a couple trade scenarios.
Okay. Let's see what you got.
So I got Phoenix, number one.
That is the most obvious sense to get youth.
Yeah, it does. So Phoenix would give up Eric Bledsoe, TJ Warren, and one of either Marquise Chris or Dragon Bender. So one of their young big men.
Okay.
And then probably a draft pick here or there.
Yeah, something thrown in as well.
Something thrown in there. So this would go ahead and kind of touch both bases because you got Bledsoe. Bledsoe's a real good defender from the point guard position. He's a guy that, you know, he's pretty good offensively if he stays healthy. Then you got T.J. Warren. T.J. Warren's a pretty good. He's a young kind of 3-4 that can score real good. And then you got one of the young big men. So something to help you build off of in the future.
Okay. So far, the trade makes sense to me. The only thing is it's not one of his four teams.
It's not. What are the four teams? So
the four teams San Antonio. Minnesota, San Antonio, Miami, and that fourth team. I'm drawing a blank on the fourth team.
Okay. So San Antonio. Okay. San Antonio doesn't have anybody. The only chip that San Antonio has is LaMarcus Aldridge that they would be willing to give up.
Yeah, because they're
not going to give up Kawhi Leonard.
Exactly. Right?
So they're not going to give up Kawhi Leonard. They just signed Gasol. They just signed Ginobili. They can't trade those guys for at least 30 days. Mm-hmm. So I came up with a trade. LaMarcus Aldridge, Kyle Anderson, DeJounte Murray for Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert.
Okay.
So you take away two, you know, you take away a bad contract from Cleveland, and you basically give up your bad contract in Aldridge, and you give him a young point guard in DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, but then, so on San Antonio's end,
yeah.
What do you do with Danny Green?
What do you mean?
Because aren't Danny Green and Iman Shumpert basically the same
type of player? Iman Shumpert does real good coming off the bench.
Okay.
Danny Green's the type of player to where if Pop asks him to come off the bench, he's coming off the bench.
Okay.
You know. Okay, so Miami was the other team?
Miami, I think, was the other team, yeah.
See, Miami, I think, would be a pretty good trade partner in that. You know, probably Goran Dragic, Justice Winslow, and Josh Richardson for Kyrie. I don't know.
Well, I think one of those players you can keep, because I'm pretty sure Goran Dragic is making – he just got a big contract, so – if we're talking about money wise,
I think he's making like $14 million,
and Kyrie's only making
19.
Yeah, he's making just under 19.
Yeah, so that's where Winslow and kind of Josh Richardson come in to make the money work.
I think,
I mean, you got to understand, Cleveland's going to be like, look, this is one of the top 10 point guards in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to give him up,
he's 25 and he's got a ring.
So
exactly. How much credence do you give to the fact that they say apparently this he asked for this trade 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And they had a trade already in place for Kyrie Irving before the draft.
Involving?
And they didn't say specifics. The trade was already in place prior to the draft. They didn't pull the trigger on it because they didn't know who wanted to be traded.
So do you know what the trade was?
I don't know what the
Paul
trade
George.
Was. Was it Paul George?
It was Paul George.
Yes, because at this time Paul George was still available.
Yeah, it was Paul George, and everything was a go. Everything was a go, but Indiana at the last minute pulled out of it. I don't know what it was. Okay. But Indiana at the last minute pulled out of it. Indiana did not want to trade Paul George to an Eastern Conference team.
Well, it makes sense. They're not trying to face Paul George 3 or 4 times.
Exactly. So that's probably what – so maybe Sam Presti at that same moment called and said, hey,
okay,
we'll give you this. And they were like, you know what? He's a Western Conference team. We'll kind of put this on the table. And a couple days later they said, let's go ahead and go for it.
So then, Kyrie basically saying, hey, I want to be the number one on my team. I want to see what I can do.
Yeah, but I think a lot of these teams, maybe.
But the three out of the four teams, which I don't remember the fourth team, are all teams where he would be 1B or 2.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's not going to be the number one in San Antonio. That's Kawhi.
Uh-huh.
He's not going to be the number one in Minnesota. Did we say Minnesota earlier?
Yeah, Minnesota. The thing is, Minnesota's a little bit weird because I don't know who they trade. I don't know who they give up.
Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins will go back to Cleveland?
Exactly. He's going to go back to Cleveland now. So they just signed who's their point guard? It's Teague, Jeff Teague.
Mm-hmm.
They signed him.
They already gave up Zach LaVine.
So
and,
they may go ahead and agree to something and maybe trade Jeff Teague whenever the 30-day moratorium is up and trade him to Cleveland. But I just don't see it. I don't see where Minnesota can come up with the pieces that would appease Cleveland. You know,
yeah. So, there's really nothing out there. But you think for sure he's gone?
I think for sure Kyrie's gone.
You think he's being traded?
And then I thought whenever I heard that, I thought, well, maybe Cleveland tries to trade LeBron, but LeBron
has a no trade clause.
He said
he's not willing to trade it.
He's not willing to go ahead and opt out of that. So we'll see, man. This season's gonna be great. This season is the off season has been awesome. So I am very interested to see how this season goes.
Oh, there's going
to
be a lot of drama.
Oh, my goodness, yes. But we want to thank you guys for listening. We're going to go ahead and end it here. Make sure, once again, you check us out on iTunes. Make sure that you give us a 5-star review if you can. Those really help us out as far as moving along and moving our podcast up the list. And just keep on tweeting at us. Just keep on asking us questions, and we'll make sure to answer them. So without further ado, you got anything else?
Now That's Thunder Basketball website.
Make sure you check that out.
Also follow us on Now That's Thunder Basketball on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook, yes.
So make sure you follow us there. Feel free to send us messages. We welcome any advice, any questions, any way we can keep on getting this podcast rolling.
Yep, and make sure you check out the Crossover Radio app, and make sure you check them out on Twitter and on Facebook. But other than that, we'll go ahead and leave you. Talk to you next week. I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye.